Today on The Journey.
How are you using your tongue? To encourage, to enhance what God is doing in your life, or to discount what He's doing, to discount others, to devastate others, tear them down.
There's an instrument known by all that will reveal the spiritual weather brewing in your heart. When destructive storms or sunny days hold sway, your words will declare it. On today's broadcast, Ron Moore will show you the spiritual importance of controlling that instrument instead of letting it control you. Also, after the message, I'll let you know about Ron's challenging publication called Faith, Dead or Alive. It offers a vital examination of genuine faith. Faith, Dead or Alive is available as a digital download for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your donation today will help further this ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with part one of a series titled, Words, the Spiritual Barometer, on the Journey.
This past summer, one of my projects was to redo the hardwood floor in a bathroom. And so I went and got the materials that I needed to take off the stain and varnish, and so I got what they call a trim sander. Went through all the four grades of sandpaper to get it down to a finished condition so that I could restain it and revarnish it. The bathroom is right over our garage. And so the next day, I pulled into the garage and noticed that there was something dripping from the ceiling. So I went upstairs, looked in that little bathroom, and my raw floor was standing in water. Oh, I know. I said aw, too. Actually, I didn't say aw. As I checked it out, it wasn't coming from the sink. I looked underneath this little cabinet, and I saw water shooting from this hose. And not from the hose, but from a little place that is hardly even identifiable on the hose. This little thing, about 0.5% of this total hose, ruined the floor. There's another little thing. It's about the same percentage of our bodies as that little hole in the hose. About a 2-ounce slab of membrane. And it can do some damage. It can do some great things. It can encourage. Can sing a baby to sleep, but it can also be used to devastate, bring pain, wound. But quite honestly, some people never recover from. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of James. We are working our way through this hard-hitting, no-nonsense book. James has purposed this letter to challenge the reader, believers, to spiritual maturity. He says it is not enough to play the game. It's not enough to go through the motions. If you're going to call yourself a Christian, live like it. And now, in a very pointed passage, he is going to instruct us on the tongue. James chapter 3. Let's read the first 12 verses. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, generic, perfect man, perfect woman, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take the ship as an example. Although they are large and driven by strong winds, they're steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person and sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds and reptiles and creatures of the sea, are being tamed and have been tamed by men. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. As we enter this topic, this subject of our tongue, I want us to go through and see what the rest of Scripture has to say about the tongue. We're going to look at what Christ has to say, and then we're going to focus on the Old Testament. And then I want to go and just look at verses 1 and 2 and bring some very practical application for us. So the first thing let's do is a scriptural perspective of the tongue. As we look through the Bible, here is what we find. Number one, we find that words communicate the heart. As a believer, you can never say, "Oh, you know me, I always talk. I need to think before I speak. That was just popping off. I really didn't mean it. Don't mind him. Don't mind her. She just says stuff. He just says stuff. Oh, you know him. Never mind what they say." I've heard the story of a new preacher who went to a church, and after a sermon, he was standing by the door shaking hands with people, and a young man came by. The young man said, "I want to tell you something. That's the worst sermon I've ever heard. By the way, you're the worst pastor we've ever had. You couldn't administrate your way out of a wet paper bag, and you can't even spell the word leadership." Then he moved on. The guy behind him came and said, "Hey, listen, I heard what he said, but don't worry about him. He doesn't have a mind of his own. He just repeats what other people say." Words communicate the heart. Turn with me to what Jesus says in Mark chapter 7. Jesus is having a discussion with the Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law regarding what makes a man unclean or what makes him clean. And the issue really is food, and they're looking at the Old Testament law. And Jesus, in this passage of Scripture, deems that all food is clean. And the point he makes here, it's not what you take into your body that makes you clean or unclean, it's what comes out. Look what he says in verse 20. What comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice. And now he gets to some tongue issues: deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean. The proverb says this: "The words of a man's mouth are deep waters." What comes from your mouth is not like rocks you would see in a shallow spring. What comes out of your mouth comes from deep within. It comes from the thinking of your mind. It comes from the desires of your heart. It's a decision to say something, a decision to say it at a certain time, a decision to say it at a certain person. Words carry weight because they come from our heart. So whenever you hear a sincere compliment, it does something to you, doesn't it? Because you know that a person felt that. They made a decision to come to you and say that or write it. And you praise God for that. And whenever you hear a ripping criticism, it hurts. Because you know the same process. They thought it. They felt it. It was in their heart. They made a decision to come to you or write it. They said it. Words carry weight. Secondly, as we make our way through Scripture, we find reckless words are a deadly weapon. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18 says this, "Reckless words pierce like a sword." And you know, when you get pierced by a sword, there's always a little wound where the sword entered, isn't there? Researchers in communication, and particularly in marriage communication, tell us that one negative comment wipes out 15 to 20 positive comments. Positive, 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 boom, negative. And that's all you remember. It's all you hear. Reckless words pierce like a sword. Thirdly, we find in Scripture that it's words which can bring a person to ruin. The character, the person, the career, the relationship, ruined by words. Proverbs 18:7 says, "A fool's mouth is his undoing. His lips are a snare to his soul." Ecclesiastes 10, "A fool is consumed by his own lips." Spiritual ruin for sure. The gossiper always spreading a rumor. "Well, it's true. I can tell anyone. It's true." Heard that before. It's not gossip if it's true. Yeah, it's gossip if it hurts somebody else. Slander, unjust criticism, words peppered by sarcasm and words peppered by negativity. Words are not just arbitrary sounds coming from our mouth. They mean something. And they can bring a person to ruin. Well, just as words we find in Scripture have the power for evil, they also, as you well know, have the power for good. Proverbs 10, "The lips of the righteous nourish many." Proverbs 16, "Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones." Proverbs 10, 32, "The lips of the righteous know what is fitting." Let's stop there for a second. It's not always what you say. It's when you say it and who you say it to. And I've heard, and you have heard, some of the most unfitting things said to people going through difficult times. Because we think we have to say something. And since we're spiritual, we're always going to put it in a biblical context. And so we go to someone hurting and we say, "This is God's will for you. Praise the Lord. He chose you to suffer. Isn't it great?" And they're sitting there going through a devastating time. And we walk away with our lives thinking we've done something right. Those aren't fitting words. Listen to what the Proverbs says. "Like one who takes away a garment on a cold day, or like vinegar poured on soda, is one who sings songs to a heavy heart." We want to sing songs? Yeah. To a heavy heart? No. The righteous knows what is fitting. Proverbs 25, "One word aptly spoken is like apples of gold and setting of silver." Words mean something. They either tear down or they build up, show grace or inflict pain. They encourage or discourage. They bring healing or hurt. Over and over and over again in Scripture, we are told that a person who uses words wisely is a person of knowledge, a person of discernment, a person of wisdom. But the person who uses words unwisely is a fool. A hurtful fool. That's why David says in Psalm 141, "O God, set a guard over my mouth. Keep watch over the doors of my lips. God, help me to be careful what I say." As we go back to James, it is safe to assume The people James is writing to were having some struggles with words, with their speech. Remember, James told them back in chapter 1, 19, "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak. You're not listening enough, and you're talking too much." And then he says in chapter 1, verse 26, "If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself, and his religion is worthless." And so now he comes to chapter 3, and he's going to address this thing head on. Let's look at the first two verses. Number 1, "Not many of you," he says, "should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly." It's no coincidence that when James is going to begin to instruct us on this use of words, he begins with those who teach. Specifically here, those who teach God's word. They will use many words of instruction, and their words will carry influence. And James wants that person to know right up front that the teacher will be judged by a stricter standard. Not a higher standard. The standard is always there for all of us. But the teacher will be judged by a stricter standard. And so let me just talk to those who teach. You got to know that when you stand up and you say, "This is what God's word says," you better know that you will be judged by a stricter standard. Now, starting with that, the official teacher in the church, that's what James is hitting on. Let's make sure no one else gets off the hook. Are you a parent? Then you are a teacher. And you better make certain you can back up what you teach. Your words carry weight. My kids remind me of the sermons I preach. I hate it when they do that. And your kids remind you of the sermons you preach, don't they? Words carry weight. All of us are influencers somewhere. So James starts with the teacher because they're using a lot of words. They're a good example. Practically, he wants to warn them, you better be careful before you step on that teaching platform. But secondly, he wants to say, see, words mean something. They're influential. And so if words are influential by the teacher, they're influential for all of us. Now here's the challenge. Look at verse 2. James, including himself, says, man, we all stumble though, don't we? We all stumble in many ways, including our words, including backing up what we say. And then he puts this out. If a person wouldn't stumble, if a person could live their life and not stumble, if a person, every word they said would be the godly word that was aptly spoken, if that could happen, then that person would be never at fault in what he says. He would be perfect, able to keep his whole body in check. You know what James is saying there? He's saying that the best barometer of the spiritual life is the tongue. You want to know if a person is spiritually mature? Listen to what they say. You want to know if a person is really walking with God? Watch them go through a difficult time. Because whatever's in their heart, sooner or later, is going to come out of their mouth. You want to know how you're doing spiritually? Do I want to know how I'm doing spiritually? Just replay that video of all your conversations that you remember this past week. Interactions with your kids. Interactions with those you work with. Interactions with friends. And however you would grade your words is the best indicator of where you are spiritually. I believe that's what James is saying, because he says if you can control your words, you can keep your whole body, your whole being, your whole life in check. So, how are you doing? How are you using your tongue? To encourage, to empower, to enhance what God is doing in your life, to demonstrate it, or to discount what He's doing, to discount others, to devastate others, tear them down. Words carry weight. I have no doubt there are some of you here today who are living your life in a mediocre fashion, still devastated by something that a mother or dad or teacher or coach or a music instructor said 20 years ago. And there are still things that you are convinced you can't do and won't do because someone at one time of your life said 6 or 7 words to you, and it still hurts and it's still devastating. For you, I would ask that you find from the Word of God that which is always encouraging, that you find that He will forgive and forget, and He will bring you back to the spiritual state that He wants you. Otherwise, Satan's going to use something someone said, maybe flippantly, maybe off the cuff, don't even remember those words. He's going to use what they said to keep you down today. Secondly, we learn from this passage that what we say carries weight. That just like you may have been devastated, you can now devastate. This is an awesome weapon when it's used the wrong way. Ah, but what an awesome tool of encouragement and praise and building up when used the way God wants us to use it.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a look at our next time together. How do you know when your faith, or that of a friend or loved one, is a living faith? Is it proved by a walk down a church aisle, praying a salvation prayer, or attending catechism classes? Or is there other evidence that must be displayed? That question is asked and answered in Ron Moore's PDF booklet titled, Faith, Dead or Alive. In Faith, Dead or Alive, Ron outlines the characteristics of genuine belief and how you can perceive their presence animating your life. It's the most important waypoint on the spiritual journey. Faith, Dead or Alive, is yours as a digital download for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Your donation today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with a preview of our next broadcast.
Just like a viper, some people have a sharp tongue, and they hit and they move away. And you are left sometimes literally nauseated and pale. And you wonder, where did that come from? Viper, sharp, venom, and gone. Tongue has a power to destroy, James says. It ruins, it destroys the relationships in your life. It destroys you. Tongue has the power to destroy.
We hope you can join us for that message next time. And please remember to order your copy of Ron Moore's PDF booklet, Faith, Dead or Alive. It's a vital checkup on your spiritual health. Faith, Dead or Alive is available for a donation of any amount. You can get it online at ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Also, we want to invite Pittsburgh area parents and youth leaders to join us at the Bible Chapel on Saturday, March 21st from 9 a.m. to noon. We'll dive into the heart of parenting and what it looks like to raise a generation driven by technology and social media. It's the Bible Chapel's first relevant parenting conference titled Together, Raising a Social Media Generation. In addition to the ins and outs of social media, you'll learn from FBI agents who are experts in cyber threats. You'll hear from parent and student panels about their personal experiences in raising a social media and tech generation. You'll also walk away with a packet of free resources and an opportunity to engage in ongoing, relevant parenting small groups. Walk-ups will be accepted, but you must pre-register to ensure your packet of free resources and childcare. Childcare will be provided for infants through 10 years old. Pre-registration closes March 14th. Visit BibleChapel.org to register. That's BibleChapel.org. And if the journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, won't you tell your friends and family about our program? Finally, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening. And we invite you to join Ron next time as we walk together on the journey.